With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. No propaganda, no lies, and definitely no BS. You're with George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome to the show today. I hope your day's going good. There's been a video circulating, and I wanted to open with this because it just shows the mentality of what Ukraine has become since 2014. Now, the video shows a woman being pulled over. She has a small child in the car, and it's her car cam. And a Ukrainian soldier finds out she's a Muslim, starts calling her a pig, screaming at her, and then shoots his gun in the air, his automatic. The kid's crying and tells her he'll kill her if he sees her on the road again because she's a Muslim. And she lived in that town. She has to use the road. What happened was she drove past a military formation. That was her crime. And can you imagine, you're a woman with a small child in the car, get pulled over by a soldier. Now, forget the insult part. He's supposed to be defending you, defending your country, blah, blah, blah. And he threatens your life instead. This is the tragedy of Ukraine. I want to tell you a little story, what Ukraine was like pre-2014. Now, I lived here a number of years, and actually central west Ukraine on the Moldovan border. And you saw a little bit of the nationalism there. I'm not going to, lie about it, but it was always very odd to see. It wasn't normal. And people would roll their eyes. And there was one region, around Lviv, where they had Nazi parades. And you see it on the news. And it's a news item because, one, it's weird. And you sit there and wonder why they're allowing this to happen. But Ukraine was not a violent, lawless place. As a matter of fact, if you heard about a violent crime anywhere in the country, it was kind of shocking. It just didn't happen. People got along. People helped each other. If someone absolutely knew they hated you, and whether or not they had a reason, let's say they had a reason to hate you, and they hated you, right? Well, if you got into trouble, you needed something. Let's say you lost your job and you needed to feed your family. Odds on, that would have been the first person there or one of them, because they're your neighbor. And you didn't see prejudice. You saw, people joked about different things. When I first moved there, one of the new neighbors came up and said, "The only thing you have to worry about, is gypsies coming around the house because they're going to try to steal things. But the gypsies only come around on Mondays." So I thought, well, okay. All right. Well, that's different. Thanks for telling me. And, every Monday he was coming by and, just asking for stuff, this or that, borrow a tool, whatever, that eventually I got the point I'd never see again. And one of the neighbor goes, "Why are you loaning him stuff? He's a gypsy." So, it's kind of like a running joke. He's warning me about gypsies and he's the actual gypsy. Okay. It was funny. And yes, I got the tools back eventually. But it's just the way it was. It's just a very friendly, good-natured place all the way across. And, sure, people had differences. And even if they were, even the physical violence was almost laughable because, you see two guys fight and then they get up and they, they're swearing at each other. They hate each other. They're going to kill each other. And then 2 minutes later, they get up hugging each other. "You're my brother." Yeah, why are we doing this? Come on, let's go get something to eat. That was just Ukraine. And it only took a couple of years for it to degenerate into a place where they give volunteer militia leaders medals that they know are raping children, Ukrainian children, Ukrainian men, Ukrainian women. That was the leader of Tornado Battalion. Right sector, they were doing the same thing. So, you know, they got out into the Western press. They had to prosecute the guy. But when the military action started in February 2022, he's one of the first guys Zelensky lets out of prison, dusts him off, and gives him another regiment, battalion. So, you know, he's happy, hey, three square meals, free bed for a few years, and now he's off, you know, pursuing his child raping ways again. This isn't Ukraine. Ukraine has become a place so uncivilized, it's alarming. It is just alarming. And, you know, the question is, what is it going to take to get it back to where it's civilized again? And that is the problem that's on the table right now, waiting to be solved. So we'll be covering that, obviously, as long as it's going on. Now, if you've missed your favorite show on TNT Radio or your favorite interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT Radio website. We're also on all the major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. Now, there's no reason to miss out on anything on TNT Radio.
Stay up to date through your workday.
I stream it at my desk.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And thank you for coming today. And we're back with TNT talk show host and producer extraordinaire, Dee Dee Denslow, with the news. Dee Dee, you've got a lot on your chest today. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to comment on what you're saying about how Ukraine has gone from a nice, civilized place, and I forget that, you know, you were there before 2014, into a place that's become uncivilized. And I was just thinking about, you know, how quickly the Rwandan genocide was generated, and that was generated by propaganda over the radio over a matter of months. So it can be done very quickly. And maybe to reverse that lack of civilization, or the fact that people seem to have lost their morals and are hating on each other, it just needs positive propaganda to reverse the trend. That's what I was thinking when I was listening to you in your opening editorial. And of course, it's propaganda that may well have led to this latest school shooting in the USA. I picked this story based on what you were saying yesterday. Announcement, it was a female suspect who had been fatally shot by police in Nashville, Tennessee, after murdering three children and three adults in a school. It is America's latest mass shooting, happening at a private Christian elementary school in Nashville, Tennessee. Three children and three adult staff members were murdered in the shooting. And the shooter at the time, who was unidentified, was deemed to be a female and appeared to be in her teens. We'll come back to that in a sec. The U.S. has had dozens of school shootings in the past year, leading to an increased call for new restrictions on gun ownership. The U.S. Congress last June passed the country's first major gun control legislation in three decades, and that was in response to the Uvalde shooting in Texas. But fortunately, in this particular shooting in Nashville, the police responded in 14 minutes, which is actually a pretty decent response time. And they did, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your point of view, shoot dead the perpetrator of the crime. Now, it turns out that this person was named Audrey Hale. It was a 28-year-old former student of the school who identified as a transgender man. And I get really confused with all these titles that these gender ideology types have. So I believe that's a woman who identified as a man, or a girl who identified as a man.
No, it was, he started out life as a boy. That's what
started
I don't get.
Started as a boy? Oh.
I think so.
So I thought a transgender man was a woman who
I might be wrong, but I might be wrong, but you know, this is, you know, it's getting crazy here.
Yeah,
you know, it's musical chairs. Pick a chair, sit on it, and you know, we'll call it good. Yeah. You can't have two.
We had another story actually in the UK yesterday, and it was and the picture, it looked like a builder, like you'd find a brickie, yeah, in his 50s, wrinkles and all the rest of it, long blonde hair. It was called Jade Grace, or Grace Jade. This person wanted, you know, was going to be put into a female prison after raping other transgender people. I mean, and when you look at this person and the newspapers are calling him a her, it's just it makes your head just go scrambled when I try to absorb that information. Anyway, back to the story. Okay, so it's a transgender person. It might have been that they were identifying as a different sex to what they were born as, George. During a search of Hale's home, Audrey Hale's home, police discovered a plan of attack on the school and on another location where Hale, it was assumed, decided that the security at this other location was too strong, so chose the school where the attack happened. Police also found a manifesto, but have not shared any of its contents. Hale had no prior criminal history at all, Drake said, while two of the met weapons were obtained locally and then legally. Earlier on in the month, Tennessee banned transgender surgery on minors and adult performances such as drag queen story hour in front of children. A good positive mood, a move. We should not even be in this position where we're making these types of decisions or even thinking about these things. They shouldn't exist in the first place. But in response to this legislation or law put in place by the Tennessee authorities, the Virginia-based trans radical activist network called, funny enough, TRAN, called for a trans day of vengeance to stop trans genocide on April the 1st in Washington, D.C., and announced a fundraiser for firearms training. And this, George, is how we end up in the world that we live in, where we have got people, these trans people committing acts of violence. And there have been multiple shootings involving people who identify as trans. And these are the consequences of validating people's delusions. And unfortunately, they are also very sad human tragedies. I think everybody involved in this is a victim. And it goes back to what I started with, George, blaming the insane propaganda coming from one side, in particular, of the political spectrum, George.
I agree totally. And, you know, this whole thing about, you know, stopping trans genocide, it's, okay, you want to, genocide is against a particular race or ethnicity, okay, or religion, or, I mean, you could even term it, you know, in terms of a political group, but a sexual choice, it's not even a sexual choice because they're really opting out of making a choice now. I mean, is that right or wrong? And the thing is, nobody actually cared about transgender people until they started messing with kids and women. Mm-hmm. And I haven't heard any calls for violence against trans in reality. Have you?
I have never heard anyone call for violence against trans people. The only violence I see when the word trans or LGBTQ is brought up in as part of the discussion comes from that side of the argument. The LGBTQ, and in particular, the trans people, are incredibly aggressive, incredibly violent. We saw it in Australia this weekend with a British activist called, let me get her name right, Kelly J. Keane, goes by the name of Posey Parker. And all she says is biological women are women, and there is no other description for women. Men who say they are women are not women. That's all she says, and she's perfectly entitled to and perfectly correct. Can't believe we have to even say this in the bloody 21st century. She was quite violently attacked, and people supported the trans person who committed the violence upon her. And it's the same with the MSN that I've looked at in America now. They are saying that the person who carried out this shooting in which three very young children were killed, that person's the victim, not the children. The focus is on the trans individual. So this ideology that's pushing it, the propaganda, is become very cult-like, and you can't question it, because if you question it, the response is violence, because they are unable to deal with your questions, because it's very, very easy to pull apart the things that these people believe, George.
Well, you know, with this person, this Audrey Hale, they were posting on social media that they were going to do something, you know, it was suicidal, and you know, they were going to die. So they went into this knowing that they'd be killed. Mm-hmm. Now, no record, no, you know, you can't say that this is, you know, something all of a sudden. There was too much planning involved. And, you know, even if that manifesto, so-called, is released, and my God, here we go. You put a manifesto, you're expecting, you know, the works of Shakespeare or something, you know?
Yeah. The ramblings of a crazy person.
it's not necessarily going to include the real reasons for this. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to take a long time before we actually know the why. And you know, that's the hard thing. My heart goes out to these families that you know, lost family members, especially the three children. Uh-huh. There really can't be any justice now, because, you know, how do you get closure for the parents? They can't see this person in court now.
Nope.
And my heart really goes out to them. Is there anything else new on this story?
No, I mean, this is the latest I had at time of putting this information together at lunchtime. So I haven't seen any more, but I expect at least excerpts from the manifesto are going to come out, and maybe more information on the identity of this person. Is it a man? Is it a girl? And some other information. But I've got, you know, four, you know, the Colorado Springs shooter, the Denver shooter, the Aberdeen shooter. These don't all necessarily ring bells in my head, because I'm you know, a few thousand miles away across the pond. Are very focused on UK stories, but these are all four recent shootings that have happened in America that have been carried out by trans individuals. And as soon as that trans part of the story comes out and they can't go, oh, it was a white supremacist, the story tends to disappear into the media ether, George.
Oh, exactly. And did you hear Biden's sorry excuse for addressing this?
Yeah, didn't he mention something about chocolate ice cream?
Yeah, he came down because he thought there was, you know, ice cream being served or something. But don't worry, he's got plenty upstairs in the freezer on the second shelf. And oh, by the way, there was a shooting at a school. And that's why we need to push gun control and get all these guns off the street.
No. Yeah, the mental health crisis. That means that people are actually think that they're a different sex to what they were born, and I've probably got a whole catalog of other issues with these people that leads them to, in these cases, that these four cases I just mentioned, to go out and shoot people. Mm-hmm. And all Joe Biden can think about is chocolate ice cream. It tells us all we need to know, George.
Oh, exactly, and especially after Uvalde, if parents don't have the ability to step in when the police refuse to or can't, for whatever reason, to save their own child. It's what kind of society is that? You know, and that's just the thing. It's not the guns that are the problem.
Uh-huh.
you have these, you know, with this particular thing, I'm really hesitant to brand what it is, because it could be something against the school itself, somebody at the school. I don't understand why you would shoot children and, you know, the janitor over it. But what, until we know the reason for this, now, am I sorry this person got shot? Nope. That was the best news I heard about the story so far, from my perspective. But pushing gun control in a society that Joe Biden is in charge of? I don't think so.
If you're American, keep your guns, yeah? I'm telling you that as a British man, you had all this taken.
If you're American, clean them. Clean them, oil them, and get down the range and get some use out of them. Make sure you're sighted in.
Yeah.
That's about all I've got to say about that.
I wish we had our guns here, George. We're not allowed. Getting a gun here. If I got caught with a gun in the UK, I'd be looking at probably 5 to 10 years. Just caught with one.
Now, tell me something. You've got the local police. They don't carry guns. Would you rather have a police that has a gun? Because these guys are coming at you with machetes. I mean, is that more dangerous or less dangerous?
More frightening. I'm pretty sure a man with a knife or even two knives, I think some of them had, that they've sellotaped and taped to their hands so you can't get them off, and are determined to kill as many people as possible before they die an honorable death to see their 77 virgins or whatever it is that is on the steps to Mecca or wherever, you know, whatever it is that they believe on. I'm sure that's a truly terrifying thing to confront. And actually, more and more police officers in the UK, even in Plymouth, are now armed. I have seen armed police officers walking the streets in Plymouth, of all places, and I'm pretty sure there are quite a lot of police officers now who are carrying a variety of weaponry, including guns, the non-lethal weapons, as well as pistols and sidearms. So, it's becoming more common in the UK, but, you know, only since we started having the terrorist attacks. Before then, I've never held a gun, George. I've never actually physically held a real gun.
Really?
Yeah. And people are shocked by that, especially Americans.
I gave mine up. I gave mine to, you know, away when I moved here. You know, I didn't think I could have them here. And then I found out after I got here, I could have kept them. I'm like, oh, okay.
Did you get a gun?
Well, that's, you know, sad on me, but it was what it was. I mean, I had a big spread, a lot of acres, like 23 acres of land, you know, forest, rivers. And so there was plenty of room to do this on, you know, to shoot on. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. You know, we'll leave it at that. It was a lot of fun. All right, Dee Dee, thank you for coming on today. I'm looking forward to having you back tomorrow.
We're going to go
to a quick break. Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow. Looking forward to it.
Cheers.
We'll be back after these messages.
You should hear what Dirk Pohlman is talking about.
It's also clear that China has taken off the gloves in a way. Yeah? There are messages from the Chinese foreign ministry which sound very different from what we ever heard before. China always has been very diplomatic, but right now is not anymore. Do you see it the same way, or is there a major shift, or are we just floating along the same way as before?
control. They see that, at least for the moment, there is less and less for them to work with. So they have come out with a very clear 5,000-word outline of U.S. imperialism and its perils. One of the most powerful documents calling out from the top down the five different major branches of Anglo-American hegemony, color revolutionary tactics, cultural warfare, the drive for World War III even, which is being brought about by this Thucydides trap logic. So they've been very clear on that. And I think that what we saw with Xi Jinping meeting with Putin this week and what's emerged out of that with a Moscow-Beijing rail route, which is finalized. The first train has arrived now as a big part of the Belt and Road Initiative, as well as the Polar Silk Road. These are all very important components to a foundation of trust and a new economic architecture, which can actually float, unlike the collapsing New World Order doctrine, which cannot float.
The Dirk Pullman Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I view Al Sharpton as a poverty pimp.
Terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland.
I walk outside every day in fear of white supremacy right here in the middle of the hood. Okay, yeah, right.
My grandparents had a cross burned on their property. We were slaves in the past. We're free now.
I never seen a white supremacist in my life. Never, and they can't point to one. Where the hell are they? I wish somebody would introduce me to a white supremacist. I would like to talk to them and take pictures with them because I never seen one in my life.
Biden says that the country is systematically racist. You know, I almost want to look at him and say, haven't you been the system for the last 50 years?
He's the one that sponsored the 1994 crime bill, which unequivocally basically targeted black men in black neighborhoods.
The polarization. The left versus right, the black versus white.
Pro-choice against pro-life.
I work for Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry that I scared you.
People have had to make it like they're apologizing for their whiteness.
And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
What's more disheartening to me is that those who are within the black community are allowing for that to take place.
So really what we're dealing with is a cultural Marxism that Joe Biden and all the rest from the left are trying to inculcate into our society.
Well, you were once the oppressor, so now I must be the oppressor. You don't avenge evil for evil.
It's okay to say disparaging things against white people. Our former president, Barack Obama, said it, you know, about old white men are a problem. Except when it comes time for him to fly around on their airplanes and ride around on their yachts or be their next door neighbors or endorse them for president like Joe Biden, then old white men are okay. This is their last gasp.
What do progressive socialists really want?
Watch Systematic Deception at SalemNow.com.
TNTRadio.live.
I just kind of stream it online.
Yeah, online.
Listen online every day.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome back. Now, we're going to go into what this whole NATO deal is going, you know, that's going on right now regarding Ukraine. Now, Austria, Hungary, and Bulgaria have joined a minority group of European countries that refuse to send weapons to Ukraine. Now, everybody's worried about NATO getting into the war. And to, you know, you can pull the Article 5 all you want, but everybody has to vote. And to jump into the war, it has to be a unanimous agreement. Two of those countries, Hungary and Bulgaria, are part of NATO. They're not willing to send weapons to Ukraine. And as a matter of fact, they want to restore trade with Russia. They know what's going on. Do you think these countries would vote to go to war with Russia? The answer is no. Could they be pressured into it? The answer is possibly. But it would take a lot of pressure. And Europe doesn't have either the backbone or something these countries want enough to be able to apply that pressure. So it would have to come from the U.S., and how good of relations does the U.S. have with these countries? Well, not very good. Or not great. Not great enough where the leader of a country like Hungary or Bulgaria would look at Joe Biden and say, yeah, Joe, I'm willing to sacrifice all my people in a nuclear confrontation just for you and Hunter. Damn right. Damn right. I don't think so. But, you know, the simple fact that this is happening is showing a split in Europe over the Ukraine issue, which is a good thing. It is a good thing. If this was, how best to put this? Because, you know, you've got, there's a line you can walk up to and you really don't want to cross it on this, especially this particular subject, all right? Now, for Europe's benefit, take it from that perspective, and let's leave out the Russian perspective altogether. Is the conflict in Ukraine a good thing for Europe? It's good for the leaders, it's bad for the people. And, you know, forget about NATO for the minute. Look at your economies. Look what's going on. Look at the defense of your countries. All the weapons have gone to Ukraine. You know, a chill wind could come by and beat up your armies. That's just the way it is now. So if you're looking at it, economies, security, well, how about food? You're not going to get it as long as Ukraine's doing this. And Ukraine wasn't going to give it to you unless they could switch over and become the solar king of Europe and the hydrogen king of Europe and supply Europe with energy on its own. So any way you look at it, they had to do this war to make room for those projects. But we have some sanity in the fold, and we can hope that increases. Now, the UK Challengers and the crews that the UK have been training for the tanks have reached Ukraine, and they've actually showing, and you're gonna get a kick out of this. Now, they're saying these tanks are great, these tanks are, you know, we're not worried about the mud, blah, blah, blah. Well, they just moved them in country, which means they're out in West Ukraine, not where the real mud is yet. And they park these on a mowed field, right? And just moving them in position for the photo op, these tanks sunk 6 inches. There's 6-inch deep trails going to where they're parked. And that was on turf. That's not on a battlefield. So this, you know, yay, we got the tanks. Yeah, okay. Let's see them roll. Let's see how this goes. They're going to have to wait. It'll take a couple of months before they move them up anyway, and things may dry up some. But it's not really a game changer. It just isn't. Now, will the DU rounds join them? Are they taking those too? That is a game changer. Depleted uranium rounds will make the UK liable and whoever's sending these rounds liable for chemical weapons, according to Russia, whatever that means. And it's a reality of it. Now, it's the same as, you know, think about it, if your own government said it was okay to, you know, test a few of these in your neighborhood. Now, in reports from Kosovo, when they were using them, NATO was using them, they told soldiers to stay, you know, you have a 500-foot threshold, okay, or you could have problems. That was back then. Between now and then, it's all become good. Except if you live in Syria or Iraq or anywhere else these things are actually fired in. And you see how bad and how much damage they actually do. And it's not just for the moment. It becomes generational curse in that area because that contamination stays and it has a long shelf life. So let's really, really hope for the sake of the Ukrainian people that they're not used at all. On the other side of this, France is doubling its supplies of 155 millimeter artillery rounds to Ukraine to about 2,000 shells a month. Now, they're also, well, get this, Paris is planning to boost a fund that enables Kiev to buy French weaponry. So they're going to finance these shells through a French bank to buy the French weaponry. So the Ukrainian people will be on the, you know, they'd be on the hook to pay for these things. And a few months ago, we already talked about who's benefiting the most out of this. And it's the banker, Matthew Pagassi, the rock star. And we'll get back to him at some point soon. It's a really intense story. Now, a real tick in all of this, last summer, North Korea started talking about helping Russia out here and sending troops. Well, you know, that, of course, didn't pan out. But now North Korea wants to let 50,000 volunteers that want to come and fight for Russia in Ukraine come to Ukraine as long as the Chinese okay it. 50,000. And you can guarantee that these are former soldiers. So you're going to have, you know, experienced soldiers coming from North Korea in my neighborhood. And that's why I threw in the pending Chinese okay. Because the Chinese, even though this makes headlines, the Chinese have a peace initiative on the table. And if they okay this, what it says is they were never serious about that. China has already shown itself to be a major diplomatic player by arranging something that, honestly, I never thought I'd see, is a peace agreement between Iran and Saudi Arabia. And that, my friend, is tricky as hell. It's like having the papacy in two countries, like they had at one point in Rome and in France, and saying, okay, get along. These are the two heads of the different factions of Islam. It's the same thing. And somehow China was able to work this out. So bully on them. I think that's a great thing. Like I said, not something I ever thought I'd live to see. So that leaves the 50,000 North Korean volunteers probably in Korea. And that's just a reality point. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll see you in a few minutes.
It's back. A new UN climate report warns of doomsday unless we give the UN more power and go full Marxist. Oh, no. Haven't we heard this before?
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Fire, brimstone, ticking climate time bombs, once again. The new UN IPCC climate report is out, warning about a, quote, survival guide to humanity. Climatologists are weighing in. Dr. Judith Curry has called the report pure politics, weakly justified, politicized. MIT climate scientist Dr. Richard Lindzen says we should, quote, do nothing about global warming, and instead says the United Nations is exploiting people's ignorance to promote fear. Well said. Remember, throughout human history, the ruling class has always tried to come up with reasons why the rest of us can't be free and why we should allow them to rule over us. Climate is their latest excuse. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
To some people, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much. But that's not necessarily true. By 6 months, they're combining vowels and consonants. By 9 months, they're trying out different kinds of sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on some meaning. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Early screening and intervention can make a lifetime of difference and unlock a world of possibilities. Take the first step at autismspeaks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome back. Now, here's, you know, we've been talking about Nord Stream, Nord Stream, Nord Stream. And you hear a lot of it in the news, right? Well, here's something you may not have heard. And it really deals a huge blow to international law. The Security Council has refused to initiate an investigation into the deliberate sabotage of Nord Stream. This is an international incident. This destroyed European economies. I mean, you think they'd want to be involved? Nord Stream was a bridge between Eurasia and Europe itself, Russia and Europe, the rest of Europe. So this economic bridge is broken, and nobody wants to know who done it. It's incredible, isn't it? What does this do for the legitimacy of the Security Council and the UN in general? Everything Russia, Russia, Russia. They're investigating Vladimir Putin for taking kids out of a war zone. The ICC initiated that. The UN is backing that up. What does this do to diplomacy going forward from here? If there aren't forums, you know, as bad as the UN is, if there aren't forums like that where at least these people can actually sit face to face and yell at each other, if you can't blow off the steam, the next thing that happens is you go to arms. That's why the UN was originated in the first place. People, leaders could send their diplomats, complain, hash things out, maybe yell at each other, definitely, and do it in an open public place where every other country can see it. And the reason why that's important is the reasons behind World War I was all these secret treaties that nobody knew about. All these mutual defense pacts nobody else was aware of. It brought the world to war. So forums like the UN, and I'm not a big fan of the UN. I think they really need to reboot the whole thing. But they're necessary. And, you know, they should not have any role. How to best phrase this? They should not declare any sovereign role within a state itself. And they tried to do this, or they do this on occasion. Okay, that shouldn't be their thing. It should be the members ratifying the resolutions, the agreements, and whatever. So if that isn't credible anymore, then what happens? So we need to really keep an eye on these things. And it's just getting crazy. Now, Zelensky's PR company in, I think it's New Jersey, that handles his Twitter for $50,000 a month, posted this. At the end of this busy day, I spoke with President Andrzej Duda, it's Poland, and told about the course of hostilities, the situation in certain areas of the front, and discussed Ukraine's current defense needs and joint diplomatic efforts for the near future. We're preparing for important events. What is he talking about? They're plotting out what was known as the Intermarium. That was Eastern European and Central European countries grouping together to form a big defense force to fight Russia. This idea started in 1912 or 13 in Poland. Now, really think about this. This would be the biggest army in Europe. It would also turn that bloc into the most powerful economic bloc in Europe, which means they would essentially try to rule Europe. what the hell are they thinking for even letting these little shit-ass countries in a position where they can even consider that a reality? Ukraine is third world, period, the end. At best, it was second world. At its height, at its apex, when everything was great, it was a second world country. It's a third world country. Right now, in 2023, the list of egregious offenses from the U.S. State Department cataloging what Ukraine is doing to its people is very long. And Europe, the State Department considers Ukraine its pet. Can you imagine a group like this being the trendsetters for the rest of Europe? What would happen? Realistically, what would happen? It'd be like Mussolini's Italy all over again. And I'm trying to be tasteful. That, it's just crazy, messed up shite. And now we've got Orlando Bloom coming to Kiev and fawning all over Zelensky. You know, like Sean Penn, and don't let him fool you. He never had any intention of going to Ukraine or Kiev. Couldn't find it on the map. Actually got thrown on the plane to go over there. Why? Like Sean Penn, they said, listen, we'll give you $1 million if you do this. That's what they did with Sean Penn, and then they financed stuff for him. Gave him even more money because he played ball. And that's all they're in for. That's all they're into it for. That's everything. If you look at all in this day and age, how can you not see what's going on in Ukraine? I mean, granted, depending on the search engine, you may have to go to page two, but these stories start showing up. You're welcome to 2023, pal. It's no longer hidden anymore. And you have to choose to ignore these things. Well, Orlando Bloom just took his seat with Sean Penn in the list that, things I'll never watch again. So I'm really not interested in any type of product, promotion, film, whatever, that these people put out. Because the simple fact is, they are haters of humanity. And I'm not talking about this in a sissy, earthy, crunchy kind of way. These people are even worse than the Ukrainians, because they can see what the Ukrainians are doing, scream at the top of their lungs they stand for democracy and free speech, and all the while pushing these Ukrainian people under the jackboot and helping to do it to people in their own countries. But they're for freedom. Whose freedom? Their freedom. Their freedom to get $1 million or offer $2 million from some little despot. And no one ever calls them out on that. Granted, you've got people like me. I'm not big on sending tweets to these people or people in general like that, but I address it once in a while. But here's the thing. They don't care. They just simply don't care. Now, I wanted to end this today, the show today, on a funny note. Now, we know what's going on in Bakhmut. Wagner's taken over the city center with the administration building, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a place you put your flag up, blah, 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 blah. Okay, the city is ours, even though they're still slugging it out, going west. And now they went by Bakhmut also has a very famous winery. They ship fine wines all over Europe. Well, the Ukrainians that have been there, they were stationed at the winery, had a choice to make because they're pulling out. Well, we have enough room in our vehicles for the weapons that the Americans bought, you know, like the $120,000 a piece javelins. Or we can take cases and cases of this really cool wine. My girlfriend would love a bottle of this stuff. Yeah. So what do you think they chose, being Ukrainian? Javelin, anti-tank weapon that costs $120,000, or a case of wine? What would you choose? They chose the wine. They left their weapons at the winery, and we're going across the gamut in weapons. I mean, you know, yay, javelins, hey. You know, we're not just talking one or two either. And we're not talking about, you know, just, you know, one set of guys in one vehicle. You know, we're talking platoons of people emptying out this winery, leaving their weapons because they can't carry them. That's funny. That's Ukraine. And you have Wagner's people picking up javelins now, checking them out, testing them out, deciding whether or not they want to use these weapons, the ammunition that was left with it. You've got rifles, you've got grenades, you've got shells, you've got, I mean, take your pick. You know, if you're going to empty out a winery, it takes up a lot of room on a truck. And that's what's going on at Bakhmut. I mean, maybe, you know, Zelensky supposedly has 80,000 troops moving up to the west of Bakhmut. Maybe they're going to take the wine out and, you know, have a pity me party over with the rest of the guys before South Ukraine becomes freed up from Ukrainian forces. And it's in my ears as confusing as it is in your ears. Oh, won't that be a great day when Ukraine is free from Ukrainian forces? It really sounds weird. And I never would have thought, you know, like I said, when I got here, it was a very, very different place. It was a very, very different mentality, different vibe, different feeling, different people. And if Ukraine could go back to being that, the Ukrainian people could be happy again. And let me tell you something, it was corrupt as hell back then. But that kind of corruption was actually livable compared to the level of corruption the Ukrainians put up with today, as well as the despotism that's going on. The uncertainty of whether or not you're going to be killed by the people that should be protecting you or not. Yes, well, no, we're not talking about Biden's America. This is Zelensky's Ukraine. And if we can stop this here and in the course of the next couple of years and make sure it can't pop back up again, and we're talking about the politics behind all this, the world would be a much better place and a much saner place. This is TNT Talk Radio. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great evening.